We're speaking today with our expanded agriculture coverage. Who better to speak with than Alberta's top farmer, Devin Dreeschen, the Minister of Agriculture and Forestry for the province of Alberta. Minister, thank you for joining us for this first week of new programming here at our station.
Happy to be on your show and really excited to see your new agriculture focus on it. It'll be great.
Yeah, it should definitely be. And obviously to us, the questions from the people are very important. So one local farmer in the Manning area sent in a question and it says, hey, Minister, regarding Fusarium, how come it was removed from the Pests Act? And to be honest, I don't even really know much about that. So I figured that that was a good one and may as well. That was sent in from Terry in Manning.
Perfect. Yeah, well, thanks, Terry, for the question. And we were the only province that through legislation actually regulatory and banned Fusarium in Alberta, even though Fusarium is widespread throughout Alberta. In certain areas, especially up north, it was much less. Down south, there was a lot higher cases of Fusarium. But we didn't actually have in Alberta practical ways to manage it. So by removing it from the Pest Act, we're actually allowing farmers to actually have access to more seed varieties and research opportunities like they do in Saskatchewan and Manitoba, and also working with the industry to have best management practices to ultimately mitigate the spread, to introduce threshold levels of seed that will be allowed for purchase, as well as seed treatment and fungicides, ultimately to manage the risk of Fusarium in Alberta.
Awesome. And when it comes to the Pest Act, like how often, because I know there's obviously a lot of considerations in that, how often is the Pest Act reviewed to decide what should be on there and what shouldn't?
Well, there's no standardized amount of time of when you would review acts, but it's something that we always do look at through regulatory and legislative disadvantages that we may have with our, you know, our closest provinces, Saskatchewan and Manitoba. And then we ask, you know, why are there differences? And then we would consult with industry, and then we'd make changes afterwards. So it's almost a, if there's a problem, we try to address it rather than just a standard approach of always reviewing acts for the sake of reviewing them.
Yeah, fair enough. Also, as well, Minister, last time you were on, we had talked about crop insurance, and you'd mentioned that you were working with some of your ministerial colleagues in other provinces, as well as Ottawa, and what do you feel would be the best type of program for that? I mean, one of the things that some farmers around here did say is that the current crop insurance program is a bit outdated. Do you agree with that, number one? And number two, how is the progress? I know that that's something you put in quite a bit of time on in terms of revamping crop insurance.
Yeah, well, crop insurance, from my standpoint, is one of the best business risk management programs that we have. It's about 80% of farmers actually are signed up in crop insurance, and it's something that we look at as, you know, how can we actually increase that number. So it is widely used, but obviously there's improvements to it when we do work and consult with industry to try to make that better. But when it comes to agri-stability, it's more of a risk-based or margin-based program. And it's something that we've been working with commodity groups. We actually just sent them our kind of preliminary policy discussion on a new margin-based insurance program that could replace agri-stability. And that's something that would be bankable, timely, predictable. That would be for all commodities rather than the current agri-stability program that benefits certain types of farming operations than others. So we try to make it, you know, equitable across all commodities. And we're hoping that we'd have sign-off by next year and something that it could be in place for 2023, which is the next five-year national business risk management framework. And hopefully that could be the replacement program for agri-stability.
That should be interesting to see where it goes from there. And another thing that when I was talking to some of the local farmers and rangers in there, I asked them, I said, what do you think of when you think about farming? And they all kind of gave me this blank stare. And then I said, okay, what would you say is something that impacts your daily life as a farmer that you have no control over? And then one farmer had actually laughed out and said, we control nothing. But then another one said, actually, trade agreements. So in terms of that, we know that some trade deals are, most of those are under federal jurisdiction. But my question is, when they do come up for renegotiation or new markets are explored, how much of a voice do provincial agriculture ministers like yourself have at that federal level when, like, for example, like obviously the China situation impacted farmers around here? How much of a voice would you have with your federal counterpart?
Well, we always stress that market access is so important to the federal government, to Ottawa. But as a province, we've actually doubled our voice. We have four trade officers around the world, and we just doubled up to eight to hit key markets around the world, whether that's Singapore, the EU, Mexico, the US. We are going into more areas that we can, A, help facilitate trade and have buyers connect with sellers, as well as just making sure any trade disruptions or irritants that may pop up, something that we can address early on to try to just mitigate any type of market access decline that's possible. So it is something that, yes, weather is always a big factor, and crop insurance does a lot to actually try to help mitigate that risk of weather. But we do look at and assess our domestic farm programs, like I mentioned, our business risk management programs that are up for renewal in 2023. And it is something that, you know, whether we can have more value-added processing here in Alberta rather than ship it out by bulk commodity, that is another thing that we look at to, again, try to gain more value for our farmers.
No doubt. And in terms of trade deals, off the top of your head, are there some out there when you sit there and you look back at them in terms of our agriculture products that you say that's a very good deal for Canada? And are there any a couple where you say that one could be better?
Well, I think the USMCA, the new NAFTA agreement that was between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, that was signed under the previous U.S. administration, and you know we'll ultimately see what happens with the new Biden administration in the next couple of days. But the U.S. is such a huge trading partner with Canada. We export a tremendous amount of not just energy products, but also agricultural products down to the U.S. So that they are our one and only neighbor and our biggest trading partner. So to make sure that relationship remains strong is very important. But we should actively try to make sure that we don't have all our eggs in one basket. So diversifying our exports and going to different countries and setting up new trade offices, I think, goes a long way to try to diversify our exports, which helps our sellers here in Canada, but at the end of the day, helps out our farmers and ranchers because they can get higher premium products or higher premium dollar for their premium products that they have here.
Definitely. And as we continue our chat with Agriculture and Forestry Minister Devin Dreeshan for the province of Alberta, Minister, does the ministry get forecasts for predictions for commodity prices for, say, this upcoming year? Kind of like how sometimes when people are putting company forecasts together, they would have like projections, financial projections. Would they do the same thing like in terms of farming on where you expect commodity prices to go, or is it all a gamble?
Well, we monitor private sector forecasts to see where they think. You know, obviously, I won't give any financial advice as prices obviously always go up and down. Yeah. And, you know, probably better at picking NFL and NHL wins than that. But
not this weekend.
We haven't got into that yet.
Fair enough.
The prices do look good from a historical perspective, the futures going out for this year. So that is something that I think does have some optimism for farmers going forward. And whether they try to lock in and contract those prices now or wait to see where they go, it is a pretty strong financial position right now.
Yeah, definitely. World needs food, that's for sure. And also, I guess, for the ministry, for your ministry this year, Minister, or 2021, what are some of the big things that you hope to accomplish this year as a ministry?
Well, I think our $1.4 billion private sector investment goal is something that we're always going to be focused on, working with companies that want to set up shop here in Alberta to create more jobs with the 2,000 job target that we have. And that's well underway. I think the last numbers I saw was somewhere around $350 million of that $1.4 billion. So we are trying to attract more value-added processing done here. Obviously, our $815 million irrigation project that we signed off in 2020, bringing on 200,000 new acres and four new reservoirs or four new lakes down in southern Alberta to make sure that project progresses in a timely manner is huge and important, as well as increasing trade opportunities, as we just mentioned.
Yeah.
And two other things, you know, our BRM reforms, our business risk management reforms to make sure that we can have better farm programs to support our farmers and ranchers, and then a competitiveness review, something that when you look at the federal government increasing carbon taxes by over 500%, farmers obviously can't absorb or can't pass on that increase of that input increase. They have to just take it off their own bottom line. So that is something that we are trying to do, a competitiveness review of what we can do as governments to try to make sure that our farmers, because they do compete on a global stage, but how can we help them do just that to make sure that they can be, they're not having regulations that are put in place to slow them down, but actually regulations that actually help them succeed.
Yeah, no doubt. Also, I guess one of the cool programs that you did this year was the Christmas tree program, allowing families to go into the woods, harvest a Christmas tree for this year. That was an interesting initiative. And how did that program go overall? And I know that usually, and you could correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe the tree is harvested, two must be planted. And in terms of these Christmas trees, how did the program go? And would those trees that were harvested be replaced?
Well, I always wanted to call it the Hydra Initiative, but the department never would let me. We do have a, for every tree that is harvested, two do get planted. And the any Christmas trees or personal use, that type of, that's outside of a forester's, you know, normal course of business, those trees that do get cut are actually counted in a forester's replant program. So even if it was a forester or just family going out and getting a Christmas tree, that all counts. But it was a huge success. We removed the user fees on Christmas trees this year, and it more than doubled the amount of families and people going out to our, you know, wonderful forest and getting a Christmas tree and spending that family time to go and do that. So it was about 18,000 different permits went out to families to go get Christmas trees this year. So a really, really good success, and it was nice to see.
Oh, my word, that's a lot of trees. Okay, and I guess for this year, speaking of trees, wildfire season is, you know what, it's not too far away. I mean, to be honest with you, Minister, in about a couple of months from today, probably, it's already going to start monitoring for that, if you could believe it. Does the Ministry usually get any sort of forecasts or predictions on how the wildfire season could play out, even though it's up to God and Mother Nature?
Yeah, we're obviously, we always monitor. Obviously, snow is an important factor, but it's that super sensitive time when the snow melts and everything is dry on top and there isn't new green growth yet, and that's always the trickiest time. So it's that April-May time period, even though you could have a massive huge snow in January and February, but as soon as it all dries up and goes away, it's those sensitive times of could you have grass fires that ultimately expand and grow into forest fires. So those key April rains is something that we're always going to look at. But obviously, the more snow, the better. But as of right now, it's a wait and see to see how things pan out.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely. Forest fires, big story up here, thanks to 2019. And since you're on the line, Minister, Devin, got to ask you this. Let's take Saturday out of the equation. I mean, I was personally happy with what I saw, but overall, in terms of an Oilers fan, are you happy with what you're seeing this year, aside from that?
I was hoping your TV broke on the weekend, but...
No, it was working very well.
No, well, Ed, we did talk about it on the last time we were on the show, about Carey Price, can he kind of hold it together for this season, and he looked fantastic, like classic, amazing Carey Price. And I also mentioned, you know, Yamamoto being a really...
Oh, my God, that's a good young speedster.
Yeah, someone that can always, you know, make plays, dig hard in the corners, and, you know, the fact that he I thought, had a really good game was great to see. But, yeah, there's obviously 9 games that our teams are going to play each other, so I'm more concerned about who gets the first to 5 wins versus 5 goals in a game.
Yeah, no, fair point. But in kind of saying that, though, I know I had concerns about it, but a little opportunity for me to see. I know I'm excited about this one, and I remember we were chatting about, the amount of money that the Montreal Canadiens had invested in goaltending, and I think Jake Allen might be out there tonight, so that's an opportunity to see if they're actually, the strategy of overpaying for the goaltending position will actually work out, so I'm kind of curious about that. And let us say, I know you're a bit of a football guy, too. Did you see any surprises this weekend, or did you pretty much, I expected it to play out?
It pretty much everything. There's a part of you that really wanted to see the Browns beat the Chiefs, but
I think everybody outside of Kansas City wanted that.
But no, I thought that was, they played a really solid game. Obviously, the old man game that happened last night between Chiefs and Brady, that just incredible to see 42, 43 year old quarterbacks play against each other. I thought it was an unfortunate night for Drew Brees. I think that was the first time he threw 3 interceptions for like 5 or 6 years in the game. But but Brady played really well. And yeah, this upcoming weekend is be some pretty exciting football.
Yeah, football, hockey, basketball, everything's starting up again. So there's definitely not a shortage of viewing. Minister, always appreciate you checking in with us and chatting with us. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Anytime. Well, thank you so much, Ken. I really appreciate it.